Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Maposa, are you in a better position?
Yeah, I'm in a better position now.
Lovely, thank you so much. We're talking about the second coming of Christ, which is the blessed hope of the Seventh-day Adventists, the grand climax of the gospel, as it were. What is it that we need to know and understand about the second coming? So, yeah, we are actually going to be talking to you about that. So what was the purpose of the coming of the Christ in the first place? That's the first coming.
Or like the first coming of Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah.
So we'll realize that when we talk about the second coming, what it means is that there was a first coming. So for us to understand why Jesus had to come in the first place, we have to look and know and understand from the view from the issue of or the story of creation, of how man was created.
Yeah.
So when you go to Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26, God says, "Let us make man in our own what?
Image.
In our own image." So that when we are in our image, he is like us after our own likeness, and also we give him dominion over the what? Over the planet or over the whole planet Earth. And then so what God does when we proceed to Genesis chapter 2, God, after creating man, he puts man in the Garden of Eden. And then after putting man in the Garden of Eden, he says man must tend the garden and look after the garden. And as he does so, men would be eating from what? From the garden. Are we together?
Yeah, we're still together.
Okay. Men would be eating from the garden, and then of all the fruits in the garden, man was not supposed to eat the fruit of the tree that was in the midst of what? In the midst of the garden, which was the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
It was not supposed to be eaten. And then when we go to Genesis chapter 3, we see that the serpent was more subtle than any other beast of the field. And then, it speaks to Eve and asks about what God had said about eating of the fruits of the what? Of the tree or of the Garden of Eden, until it convinces Eve to eat from the what? From the forbidden
tree.
Mm. So, this is when we see man has fallen into what? Into sin. And at the end of chapter 3 of Genesis, we see man has been chased from the garden of what? From the Garden of Eden. He no longer has a home. He has lost face-to-face communication with God.
Mm.
And he has lost his... And man is starting to die because of falling into what? Into sin.
Yep.
Man has lost what? Has lost hope. And therefore, as man is like that, man is destined to die, and there is no way that man can what can redeem himself. God a promise in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 that I will put enmity between thee and the woman, that is the snake, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He is putting the hope of a redeemer. He is putting the hope of someone who is going to be the seed of the woman, who is going to deal with the issue of sin where men had fallen into. So when we go to the New Testament and we get to John, we realize and learn about the coming of Christ. We see Christ coming, John explaining the word. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him, and without him, not anything was made. And then verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So now this is Christ. He has come to earth for the first time. He has taken on the form of man so that he can reverse what happened in Genesis chapter 3. He can reverse what happened when men fell into sin. He can provide a solution to the what? To the sin problem. He can provide the solution that in the predicament that we find ourselves in, so that men can have hope once again. Men can have life in its fullness once again. Men can have a home once again. Men can have a future once again. Men can have a what? Face-to-face communication with God once again. This is why John explains it in 1 John. He says the reason why Christ came was to undo the work of the devil. It was to undo the work of the devil. When we fell into sin, he had to reverse the effects of sin. That is why John 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave the only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal what?
Eternal life.
Because our what? Our death. But because Christ came to die for sinners, therefore we will not die after we believe him, but have eternal life." So this is why Christ came the first time. This is why he came the first time.
Wow. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful stuff there. Quite a mouthful, I must say, as well. Thank you so much, Pastor, for that very comprehensive response then. Now, what of the second coming then? How is it going to be like? Do we know anything about it?
Okay. So the second coming, it's not going to be a hidden event. It's not going to be a hidden event, but it is something that everyone will what? Everyone will see.
So it's different from the first coming?
Pardon?
So it's different from the first coming?
Yes. The first coming, Christ came. Remember, the Holy Spirit, the angel visits Mary and says, "Mary, you are going to bear a child, and he is going to deliver his people from what? From sin." And then the Holy Spirit places Jesus in the womb of Mary, and then Jesus is born in the manger in that crow. And then so not everyone saw Jesus coming the first time, but there were signs that he has come. Which is why the wise men had to follow that star, because it showed that Jesus is what? Jesus has come. But then now when we go to Revelation chapter 1, the verses 7, it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen. So the part that I like here is that he comes with the clouds. It's going to be different from the what? From the first coming. On the first coming, he came through the womb of a woman. But now he is coming with what? With the clouds. And then as he is coming with the clouds, the Bible says every eye shall what? Shall see him. His coming shall be like the striking of a lightning, whereby when it strikes in the east, even those in the west will what? Will see him.
Yeah.
So his coming going to be seen and experienced and witnessed by everyone who will be living on planet Earth.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Now, what's the purpose of this coming again?
The purpose of the coming. So now, remember, Jesus has walked with us. He has walked with his disciples on planet Earth, right? And then they have experienced his presence. And, you know, as they have experienced his presence, he has taught them about the Father. The disciples are so eager to meet who? To meet the Father. And then as he is explaining that, "I am going to heaven. I am going to heaven to the Father," he sees that the disciples are troubled. And then he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled." That is John chapter 4, 1 and 2.
Yes, Pastor.
He says, "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that it be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. So now, there is something that we call the desideratum of God, the desire of God. His desire since creation was to be visiting and being with men after creating him, visiting and fellowshipping with men. That has been the desire of God since creation. And because of sin, he couldn't be with us, because men would die, since God cannot be with sin. So now Christ is going to prepare a place so that he can come and take us to be with the Father. He can come and take us to be with him. He can come and take us so that once again we can have that fellowship with God, so that we can have that fellowship with the angels, so that we can have that fellowship in heaven and learn from the feet of God and get to know about his plan and about the plan of salvation, and even to understand the questions that we have today that we cannot find answers to. So this is the reason why Christ is coming, so that he takes us to heaven and we fellowship together. Where he is, we also be. Where the Father is, we also be with the Father.
Beautiful stuff there. When is it going to happen, the second coming?
The second coming.
Yeah, when is it going to happen?
We do not know when it is going to happen.
We don't know?
We do not know when it is going to be happen. When it is going to happen, we do not know. Christ himself says, no one knows except the Father. No one knows the day, nor the what, nor the time. But he even says also, his coming is going to be like a thief in the what? In the night. It's going to be like a thief in the what? In the night. You know, when he gave them the example of the what? Of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. When he gave an example of those 10 virgins, you know, they didn't know when the bridegroom was going to come. So his coming is going to be just like that. No one knows. But what we need to do is that we need to be what? We need to be ready. We need to be ready for his coming, because the time and date of his coming has not been what? Has not been given to us. But the good thing is that in as much as he has not given us the exact date and also the exact time of his coming, he has given us the signs of his coming. And as we will be reading through the Bible and as we will be learning, I believe we will get to learn and to know and to understand the signs of his coming, which are going to guide us, which are going to lead us to what is going to happen.
Now, tell me, because it looks like this thing is, secretive. Why is it a secret? Why is it this mysterious when he's going to come? I mean, why not give us the time and date? And now we've got to be guessing with signs and all of that. Why not just give us the date? It's going to be in 2050. It's going to be in 2030. It's going to be middle of the year, etc. But now we have to be guessing and all of that. Is this all necessary?
Yes, it is necessary. When we go to John chapter 4, verse 23 and verse 24. Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman by the well of Jacob. Jesus says, the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So now, God has given or has shown or revealed the reward of those who worship him and who truly love him. And he has also given the consequences of denying him. So now, this is the situation that, or the predicament that God would want to avoid. Because now, God does not want to force people into what? Into worshiping him, into loving him. He wants people to worship him in truth and in spirit. So what do we do when we worship in truth and in spirit? We are worshiping him in truth and in spirit with our faith that we do not know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. Whether it takes long or it takes a short while, we will worship God. But now, if God had been the exact time, I believe even those who do not truly love God would worship because he is, the dates are now close, because the time is now close, because they would be looking at the, what, at the calendars. Remember the time of Noah. The time of Noah, they were mocking Noah when he was what? When he was preaching about the rain that was coming. But then they even, when he was getting into the ark, when there was no sign of rain. But when the rain had come, they came and knocked by the door, because these people wanted the salvation of God, but did not want God himself. So God wants people who want him, who love him, who follow him, and then they will benefit from loving him. Not people who love his benefits, not people who love his things, not people who love his salvation, not people who love his rewards, but not loving him. So this is what God wants. This is what God wants. So he only has those who love him, who love him in truth and in spirit. That is why God has not given us a date, so that it's only those who truly love him from their hearts.
Beautiful. Well, Pastor, thank you so much for your time. Truly a pleasure to have you here on AWR. We're going to be having you tomorrow again at the same time and same place. But for today, we want to appreciate your time and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry about the congestion. You know, our big cities are sometimes problem.
It's fine. Sorry. Are you in Harare?
Yes, I'm in Harare.
Ah, fantastic. Thank you so much, Pastor. Have a good one.
Sure. Thank you. Same to you.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.